Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Time Magazine, the issue dated yesterday, April 25th, 2011, just after Resurrection Sunday. Time Magazine's cover story is titled, "What If There's No Hell?" And that's quite a question. What if there's no hell? Well, I want to talk about that, and that is, for some people, obviously, hell is a downer of a topic. Hell. And so to offset that, I thought it'd be wonderful to also, in this program, have a very upbeat story. And so we asked the co-founder of Pro-Life Colorado, Joe Scott, to come in the studio. Welcome, Joe Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me, Bob.
Joe, a baby was saved today at an abortion clinic?
Yes, here in Denver.
And I heard it's an interesting story. I heard this from Leslie Hanks, vice president of Colorado Right to Life. She said, Bob, you got to have the story told on the air. So what do you think? Could we start with the, you know, good news, bad news? Could we start with hell first?
Okay.
And then go to the story of the baby who was saved.
Well, Bob, you're a pastor. So what do you say to people when they ask you if there's a hell or not?
Well, I tell them that, yes, there is a hell. Now, this book that this Time Magazine story is about was also written by a pastor, Rob Bell. He's the pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church.
Didn't you go to Mars Hill and teach one time?
Oh, yeah. I did a Bible seminar at Mars Hill, but it was a different one. This pastor, Rob Bell's church, is in Michigan. I spoke at an all-day Bible seminar at an Indianapolis church, Mars Hill, and it was on the overview of the Bible, which is my life's work. It's what I really love to do, presenting an overview of the whole Bible so people can understand the details, because the overview is the key to the details.
That's right, the plot.
So, yeah. So this book, Love Wins, a book about heaven, hell, and the fate of every person who ever lived, this book tries to make the argument that, you know, somehow hell is mean and God is a loving God, and so therefore there cannot be an eternal hell. And many people have thought those thoughts, of course. And so when somebody comes to me and asks, how could it be that God would send someone to hell forever? I answer first by asking them if they think that love is important. Is love important? And invariably they say yes. We love God. We love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain that love must be freely given. To have the ability to love means you have to have the ability to hate. You have to.
Right. Otherwise, you would love everything. There would be no way not to.
Yeah. Or be a robot.
Yeah, you would be a robot. You'd be programmed for that.
If you programmed a robot to say, when you wake up in the morning, to say, I love you, how good is that going to make you feel?
Well, that's not love.
No.
If you're programmed.
Right. Of course not. And a lot of Christians, I realize, wrestle with these basic concepts. But love has to be freely given. Otherwise, it's not love. And if a man loves a woman and asks her to marry him, they get married, and then he nails shut all the doors and windows in the home and says, I love you so much, you can't leave.
Right.
That's not love. That's
That's captivity. Yeah. Bondage.
Yeah. That's sick.
Yeah.
And so God loved Adam and Eve, and he put a door out of the Garden of Eden, right in the center of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And he said, if you eat from that tree, then you leave fellowship with me. But if you want to stay with me and fellowship with me, then don't eat of that tree. So they had a door out, and they chose to disobey God. So, Joe, how do people describe life on this earth? Do they generally think that life on earth is like heaven?
No. What I hear a lot of times is, I already am in hell. This is hell.
Right. This is hell.
Right.
So if God did what liberal theologians think that he should, like Pastor Rob Bell from Michigan, if God did what they think he should do, and he decided to let everyone into heaven, then that would turn heaven into hell. Heaven would become like hell.
And that's because people would choose to hate God.
Right. They could be in heaven, and they could be selfish, and hate God and do all the things that Adam and Eve and their children, like when Cain murdered Abel,
right,
and so on through the time of Noah when the earth was filled with violence and hatred, cruelty, they would do all those things in heaven. And so there would be eternal misery for everyone. But because God loves us, and because he wants to restrain even the wicked from all the harm that they could do forever, God says that you can love me. I've given you 1,000 ways to know that I am here. I'm your creator, God. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to live and to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, to be raised from the dead. And if you are humble and you're sorry for your sin, how you've hurt others and hurt yourself, and you ask me to forgive you and you trust in me, then you could live forever with me.
Right. He's shown us over and over and over throughout all of history how much he loves us.
Yeah.
Even with Jesus. And he's, like you said, if we humble ourselves, we can be with him if we choose
forever.
To love him forever.
Right. And if somebody raises their fist at God and they say, I reject you, I don't even believe in you, I hate you, I don't care. Most of it is apathy. I don't care if you're real. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do it my way, like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Then God says, well, you can. You can do it your way, but I counsel you to choose life and to get to know me and trust in me.
Because first he loved us. And you know, something that I hear every day from my husband is, God isn't going to force you to go to heaven.
God will not force
you to go to heaven.
Right.
And,
that's,
you know,
right.
You need to repent.
Right. Just like a man does not force a woman to love him.
Right.
That's not healthy. That's sick. It's a mental illness even to try that. God did not force Adam and Eve. I mean, his kids. God did not force Adam and Eve to love him. Love has to be freely given. And because love has to be volitional, it has to be freely given, there must be the ability to hate.
Right.
You have to have the ability to hate in order to love.
But there are consequences for both. There's consequences for being humble and loving God. That's heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And there's consequences for hating him.
Yeah.
And that's hell.
Yeah. Think of the bride who loves her groom, and they're going to be married. And he is, you know, ecstatic. He's walking on
air.
Clouds.
Yeah.
Because he knows that she could have given her heart to anyone else in the world. She could have loved another, but she chose to love him. And that does wonders for somebody's
ego. It does
ego, self-esteem.
Right.
To be accepted and to be loved means everything.
Mm-hmm.
It really
it does.
And ultimately, to be accepted and loved by Jesus Christ means everything. So because he knows that she could reject him or she could love another, that's why her love means so much to him.
Exactly.
Because it's freely given. So some people, like this pastor Rob Bells in his book Love Wins, you know, they argue that God's love is greater than man's sin. And that's a non sequitur. That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That's just a cliche, an empty cliche. Because God's love is extraordinary, but it does not violate his righteousness and his justice. So people would say, well, why not tell people who are in hell because they rejected Jesus Christ, say, well, you're going to be here for 1,000 years. And then you go to heaven, then you'd be good.
Oh yeah, that'll work.
That'll work, right?
Yeah.
Because then everyone in heaven finds out, you know what? I don't have to love my neighbor. I don't have to care whether I hurt somebody or not. I don't have to not be prideful and selfish. I don't have to not be bitter and envy. I could do all those things, and because God is a pushover, he's going to let me back in, even if he kicks me out.
That's right.
So then everybody in hell gets to go to heaven, including, like Bill O'Reilly said on Fox News last night. And he was interesting, I got to say. He he makes up a lot of things as he goes along on the spot. But last night he made up a good point. He asked this liberal Christian counselor with a PhD, he asked him, well, you don't believe in hell? And this guy said, no, you know, of course not. Well, do you believe in heaven, a literal heaven? And this guy, you could tell he didn't want to say yes, but he said yes.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he knew he'd be totally discredited in the eyes of the Christian audience. So O'Reilly asked, well, how about Pol Pot and Adolf Hitler? You think these guys are going to be in heaven? And this guy said yes.
He did?
Yeah. So O'Reilly said, well, when you see Adolf Hitler, you know, tell him something for me. I thought that was sort of funny. This guy is probably going to see Adolf Hitler someday.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be in heaven. So if God turned heaven into a revolving door, then the misery, the pain that we all feel, the suffering, the hatred, that will continue for all of eternity. And that's what God does not want to do. God's ways are higher than our ways. He's wiser than we are.
And that's like the same reason that Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, they couldn't stay there anymore. Because they chose to go against God.
Right.
Then the purity and the innocence and everything that they were living in could not exist anymore.
Right. Exactly right. So we also have one other powerful point, aside from all the Bible verses that speak of everlasting punishment in hell. There's also another powerful reason that Christians have to understand that hell is eternal.
Yeah.
And that is the deity of Jesus Christ. These two doctrines, they go together like a hand and a glove, because have you noticed, Joe, that a lot of the cults that deny the deity of Christ also deny hell?
Yes.
Eternal hell.
Like Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, that's a common feature. And, you know, when you make a bad premise, you tend to go crooked. You go off in the wrong direction, but you are headed in some wrong direction. So they make their wrong premise is that the Messiah is not God, our creator God.
Right.
Even though he's said to be in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that. And so if Jesus is not God, well, he is the price. He paid the debt that justice demands for our sin. So what is the worth of the Savior who died on the cross? If he's not God, then he has some kind of a lesser worth. But if he is God, his worth is eternal and infinite beyond measure.
It's powerful, Bob. That's a great point.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Remember when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified, he said, Father, if there's any other way, I'm paraphrasing, but the Lord said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me.
Right.
But if not, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know a lot of Muslims say when Jesus prayed that prayer, he was sinning?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's perverse, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's perverse.
Yes.
But Jesus said, if there's any other way, and the Father's love for the Son is not like, you know, he just got a little bit of love for the Son.
Right.
He loves the Son with all that he is. And so if there was any other way, the Father would have not had his Son suffer. I have children. I don't want my children to suffer the way the Lord suffered at my hand.
No.
If there's another way, no. And so Albert Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and in fact, Joe, one of our listeners has had a longtime correspondence with Al Mohler, and it's been real good. And he's been sharing with him all the Bible teachings that Christians have to judge.
Oh.
That Christians have to judge.
Great.
And, you know, praise the Lord. We have that at kgov.com. If you click on writings, Bob's writings, on Judge Rightly is not some guy's name.
It's not some guy's name, but it is a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's right. And so Al Mohler wrote about this Rob Bell's book. He said it's theologically disastrous, and he says that if what Rob Bell is saying is true, then you don't need the church, you don't need Christ, you don't need the cross. And he says this is the tragedy of non-judgmental liberalism.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that powerful?
Oh, yes.
And I'd say score one for rancher Tom Healy in Texas.
Yay, Tom.
A former Pentagon guy. So, yeah, good job, Tom, with Al Mohler. And he's exactly right. God is the judge of all the earth, and he's the judge because people hate one another and will destroy one another given the opportunity. And so God puts a stop to it, and he says that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment.
That's right.
So pretty neat. Joe, let's get to the story, but let me summarize the points we just made.
Okay.
That there has to be the ability to hate if God is going to enable us to love. Because love has to be freely given. It's volitional. So if God makes us with the ability to love, we have to be able to hate. And that means in this life, and for all of eternity, there are some who will hate God and hate their neighbors.
That's right.
And that's why there's a hell. And if hell was not eternal, if God did not make us as eternal creatures, then the Father would not have sacrificed the Son, because he could have done something else. He could have, say, snapped his fingers and erased Adam and Eve. Just erase them and start all over. Why should Jesus die? Just expunge the whole human race, all of humanity. But the Bible says by Solomon 3,000 years ago that God put eternity into our hearts.
That's right.
He made us as eternal creatures.
Once he decided to create us, he was willing to go to the mat
cross.
For us, all the way to
he
the
was,
cross.
And I believe even before the foundation of the earth, when God made human beings, eternally sentient moral beings, he was determined if we rebelled against him, he would be willing to sacrifice himself to save us.
That's how much he loves us.
Yeah. So, Joe, how about the baby that was saved today?
Bob, this is unbelievable, this story.
This is at an abortion clinic.
This is at the abortion clinic in Denver.
Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood. And my husband was at the gate talking to the people that were driving in and giving them literature.
You mean at the very gates of hell?
The very gates of hell.
The gates of hell where women go in to kill their own babies.
Right.
And often destroy their hearts and their souls in the process.
Yes, and any future family they may have. Mm. He handed a man, this man was driving in by himself, the man put his window down, and he took the pro-life literature. It has information on where to get help, different things in it. And the man drove in, he was getting out of the car, and he had the paperwork in his hand. I said, you better put that in your pocket, because the security guard is going to come take that away from you. And because I saw him. This Ron Pringle, ex-cop.
Coming toward the guy.
Yeah, running to get him.
They say they're pro-choice, which is a lie.
Oh, yes.
They've given millions of dollars to China's forced abortion program. They're not pro-choice.
No, they're not.
Right. And so they don't want the woman to have this information. If they were pro-choice, they'd be fine with it.
Well, the funny thing is, Bob, this guy wasn't with a woman. He said he was going in for birth control. But he put the literature in his pocket, and Ron said, you have to give that to me or you're not going in.
Oh, brother.
And the guy goes, you can't tell me what I can have in my pockets, and he walks in anyway. Well,
oh, brother. He doesn't know that Planned Parenthood turns into a zoo on a dime.
Oh, on a dime. And this was a dime, let me tell you. At the same time this is happening, the guy is telling the security guard, get away from me. I'm going to yell. Ken is waving at me because there's a woman inside the gate thinking about saving her baby. But she speaks Spanish. And the guy goes in. Ron goes in after him. He says, I'm calling the cops. And the guy said, call the cops.
Who did he say he's going to call the cops on?
The guy that put the literature in his pocket. Yeah, and he's inside. So he goes in, he gets whatever it is, he went in there, and he comes out, and he goes, he's very vulgar, the man that comes out, and he's saying, he's calling the cops on me, I'm waiting for the cops, they can't take anything out of my pockets, that stuff belongs, and Ken is yelling at me, So I run down to the gate. The woman, two women walk out. Six cop cars arrive.
Six cop cars. It's always a zoo down there. It's always a zoo, and it's good that it's a zoo.
It is.
Because a child killing center should not have peace and tranquility.
Ever, right? But normally, the two women come right. There's a yellow line that depicts where private property ends and public sidewalk begins. Right. And so they come right. Their toes are on the other side of that line. And I'm talking to them. Normally, the security guard would say, you have to get in, you have to get out, or you do something to the... But he's too busy with this.
He's
trying
busy
to get this...
because of his own pride and ego.
Right.
Causing a federal incident regarding this guy who has a pamphlet in his pocket.
Right. And it also proving that Planned Parenthood will arrest their own clients if they have
clients. Yeah. Because of their fear, how the Bible says... The wicked flee when no man pursues.
Right.
This guy is not doing anything to anybody, and they bring down the SWAT team on his head.
Right. So all of this is going on, and it's a zoo. Ken is talking to the police. Cliff is videotaping. People are talking all over the place. And yeah. I've got these two ladies here, and I'm getting them to keep the baby. The driver of the car speaks English, and she translated. To the Spanish. The Spanish woman said she had three children. Her husband's out of a job. She just didn't know what to do. And so I was able to show her through the interpreter that we have help and all of the things that we can provide and do for her and that she wouldn't be left alone, but she'd be loved. And so she decided that if this helped, she's going to keep her baby.
Wow.
And then one
another
of the...
Another baby saved.
Yeah, one family in our church made us some baby blankets. Amy and James Craddock's family.
Yeah.
And we had one of them in the car. So we brought the baby blanket and gave it to her. And we gave her the silver dollar that we give to the moms.
Every baby who is saved gets a silver dollar as a gift.
And it's such a neat thing, Bob, because I was able to tell her that it's made of precious metal and it's valuable. And she would translate every couple of sentences for me. And that she's precious and valuable in our lives, in the eyes of the Lord. And I asked her when I said, please, when your baby's old enough to understand not to put this in a gumball machine, tell him that Jesus loved him so much before he was born. And as that got translated, tears just began to flow. Wow. They began to cry.
Wow.
Then it's hard for me not to cry.
Yeah, of course.
And this is
Joe Scott, who the Denver courts are persecuting. That's a funny story, even up till yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
But Joe, so they
we all embraced and we're crying and hugging, and she's keeping her baby, and she's going to Riverside Baptist, which is the best crisis pregnancy center ever. Yeah. They lead the women to the Lord.
Yeah.
They love what we do. It's just a wonderful place to send these girls.
Right. And Riverside has been very pro personhood. Helping to get personhood on the ballot. Some of the Riverside members have been heroes, including a doctor there who's quite the hero.
I
don't think we should mention his name.
No, but he really helped me one time when Planned Parenthood was telling a woman that already had eight children that she needed to have an abortion because she was throwing up blood. Mm-hmm. And I called this doctor. He took her in. She had a bleeding ulcer.
And they would have given her an abortion.
Right, and said, you're okay now.
Telling her she needs an abortion.
Oh, that's what they told her.
And Joe, we don't want to mention his name because of his work in some countries where it's against the law to be a Christian minister and a missionary. And he's just an extraordinary person.
Wonderful, supportive man. He supported me during my trial, emotionally.
But Riverside's been a major blessing.
Major. So they went there today. I haven't heard from them since, but I will when they need something. And so anyway, during this time, the man that had shoved the literature in his pocket comes outside. All the cops are talking to him. And then they tell him, you can go. Planned Parenthood has decided not to press charges.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? The Planned Parenthood is not pressing charges.
Yeah, because
they must have given him a warm feeling about how kind they are and how professional they are.
Right.
I mean, when has that ever happened that any doctor's office that they say, you have a piece of paper in your pocket, take it out or we're calling the police.
Right. Well, they said it's a private business and they can tell you what you can have in your pockets when you walk in.
That is true, but it shows the insanity.
It does. It shows the insanity. This guy was, go ahead, arrest me. You know, but the sad thing is most people are not as bold as he was, and they'll just give the security guard the information and he'll tear it up.
Right.
And those people never will see that there is help for them. So much for pro-choice, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, Joe Scott, thank you for that. Do you know the count? How many people since Roe v. Wade Day, the tragic day in January, and the anniversary of that infamous decision by the Supreme Court, their opinion, how many babies have been saved so far this year here?
Since the 22nd of January, nine babies.
So far. So nine babies. Praise God. Joe, we're almost out of time. Thank you and your husband, Ken Scott, for all these many years of being at the abortion clinic 5 days a week. That doesn't mean that we don't need more people there.
No, that doesn't. We need as many people there as possible.
We need people there. We need Christians to come forward to support Colorado Right to Life for the next personhood round.
That's right.
Because Colorado has been a leader for the nation. What started here in 67 is going to end here. And we went from
Please,
a 3-1
God.
Defeat to a 2-1 defeat in 2 years
mm-hmm.
in a big Democratic turnout year in Colorado in 2010.
That's right. We can end it in Colorado.
We
just need to be diligent.
And there are other states. Now there are 20 other states that have prepared for petition drives to get personhood amendments on the ballots in their states. So Colorado now is in a race for the finish line.
That's right. We want to win.
We want to save the babies here in Colorado first.
Right.
Because we love our neighbor.
Yes.
So we want to do it, and we need help. We need your help. So Ken and Joe need your help. Leslie Hanks at Colorado Right to Life needs your help. And I need your help right here at Bob and Yurt Live.
That's right.
So if you want to check out that Bible overview seminar, the plot, that I got to present at Mars Hill.
Yeah, that's fabulous. You need to check that out.
Church in Indianapolis. You could call us, 800-8-N-YARDS, 800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the store and look at our Bible study materials. You'll love it. Thanks, Joe. God bless you.